of heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to gather in your name. Lord, may we always be appreciative of that. Lord, speak to us today. Change our lives today. Change our hearts. Open your word for us. Touch your people today, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going to be in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 5. And read through verse 15. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord's Prayer is what we call it. One commentator says it'd probably be better to be called the family prayer, because the Lord's Prayer, in his opinion, and I don't argue with him, the Lord's Prayer is actually John 17, where he prays for us. But this is a very well-known prayer. It's probably one of the earliest passages of scriptures that we memorize, isn't it? It talks about vain repetition, and yet we say this prayer over and over, don't we? What does it mean, vain repetition? That means repeating it mechanically, to where it doesn't have any meaning. It's empty. It's okay to say this prayer over and over again, as long as the feeling is there, as long as the meaning is there. This prayer isn't a magical charm. We're not to use it superstitiously. Some people think it's a Jewish-only prayer. But we see the prayer in one form or another in two books of the Bible. We see it in Matthew and also in a condensed version in Luke. Matthew was written for a Hebrew audience, but Luke wasn't. Luke was actually a letter, it may have been Paul's defense, that was written along with the book of Acts to someone named Theophilus. Theophilus means, it has two meanings, either loved by God or lover of God. So that could be us, couldn't it? It better be us. Who's it addressed to? Our Father. The pronouns are plural. It's appropriate and encouraged for group prayer. But it's also intended as a prayer for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all in this together, aren't we? Our Father, it starts up. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God is our Father. When I was ministering in the jail, I was chaplain there in Oregon for 10 years. The inmates didn't like that phrase. They didn't like God being referred to as Father, because most of them didn't have a very good relationship with their father, and there's a negative connotation to it. But God is everything a father is supposed to be. And when we don't have a good father, or when we don't have a father, we have a father in heaven. We call him our Father. We can call him this first because of creation. Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? We can call him our Father because of the covenant relationship between the Father and the Son, and because of our relationship with the Son. Because God is his Father, he is ours. John 20:17, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. We also can call him our Father because of regeneration. When we are born again, we are made partakers of the divine nation. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Like Father, like Son. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Some of us fall pretty far short. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In the Old Testament, in times of trouble, his people pleaded this relationship to God. Our opening scripture this morning was Isaiah 64:6-8. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. It says, our Father. As I said earlier, we're all in this together. Our Father which art in heaven. God is everywhere. But his throne, the seat of his government, is in heaven. When we pray, whether we look up, or whether we look down, whether we have our eyes closed, we lift our hearts up to him. We lift our loved ones up to him. We lift our petitions up. He's high above us, but he came down to our level, didn't he? There's a song I like that says that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You notice it says, hallowed be thy name. It doesn't say hallowed is thy name, although, of course, it is. But it's a petition that his name would be holy. It would be holy in my thinking, in my mind, in my life. It's a prayerful request. May your name be hallowed in the world and in my life. Hallowed means to be holy, consecrated, venerated, sanctified. Hallowed be thy name. In the Ten Commandments, it says we're not supposed to take his name in vain. That means it shouldn't be empty. It shouldn't be meaningless. And of course, we're not supposed to use it as a swear word either, are we? Because that's the ultimate, making his name meaningless. You know, his name is not just how we refer to him. It's everything he is. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Proverbs 18:10. His name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That means the authority. His authority, his control, his government. In Isaiah, it talks about the government shall be on his shoulder. Of the increase of his government, there will be no lack. The government will be on his shoulder. Thy kingdom come in our world, but also in our lives. He has to set up his throne in our hearts. Thy kingdom come is admitting that we have been under the dominion of sin and of Satan. And such were some of us, all of us. But now we choose to be under his authority. And that involves repenting. Submitting to God's control and his will. I've mentioned before, I don't like that bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. He better be a lot more than my co-pilot or else we're in trouble. I'm in trouble. His will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus prayed this, didn't he? We're also supposed to pray it. He tells us so, right here. When I lived in Oregon, we had a friend. Her name was Judy. Everybody called her Joyful Judy. She was an evangelist. And she traveled in South America with what's that evangelist named? Louis Paulo, anyway, I can't remember his name. He was out of Portland, I think. But she was an evangelist. And she used to visit, and she was just the happiest person that you'd ever met, but she also was a name-it-and-claim-it believer. She asked me to pray for her once. She had a specific request, and I prayed for her, and then at the end of the prayer, I said, "Thy will be done." She got mad. She said, "You just ruined the whole thing. You know, if it isn't God's will, I don't want it. Why would I want my own will when I can have his will?" Who are we to dictate to God what his will should be? In Acts chapter 10, the Lord told Peter, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And what did Peter say? "No, Lord." How can you say no and Lord at the same time in the same sentence? He had a purpose for telling him that. Sometimes we forget who's the Lord. I tried being God of my own life. I don't need to tell you how that worked out, do I? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Some translations say on earth as it is in heaven, but I like it in earth because it makes it seem like it's more than just surface. It's all throughout it, and it should be all throughout it. In earth as it is in heaven. So what are we praying for? When we pray that, what are we praying for? We're praying that heaven will be brought down here. Is there a requirement for us? Does this place a responsibility on us? Don't we have to have this mind too? Don't we have to want the things of God down here in the earth? We have to live in such a way that heaven does come down here. Not just for us, but for everybody we meet. They have to see it in us. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just talking about physical bread. It's not just about food. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a lot more than just bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When is that? Each day is this day. Each moment is this moment. It's now. God's very good at, very big on saying, talking about today. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the wilderness. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Each moment is now. God is a God of now. And forgive us our debts. Each sin is a debt that we owe to God. Who pays that debt? Jesus Christ paid that debt for us, didn't he? Forgive us our debts. Some translations say, forgive us our trespasses. What's a trespass? That's to be in a place unlawfully. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they were trespassing. They were also stealing. In fact, you think about it, they've broken off a lot of the commandments. What did their sin bring into the world? Death. Everybody that has ever died was murdered by Adam and Eve. We're not hurting anybody but ourselves. Yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts. The two go together. How can we enjoy God's blessings if we're under the weight of unforgiven sin? It's wonderful that God's a giver, but it's even more wonderful that he's a forgiver. We can have a full stomach and still go to hell, can't we? As we forgive those that trespass against us, If we're not forgiving others as he forgave us, we're not showing very much thankfulness, are we? We're not placing very much value on his forgiveness. Jesus talked a lot about this. He talked about the one that was, the king forgave a very large debt, but he went out and he wouldn't forgive a very small debt that someone else owed him. How important is forgiveness? To forgive other people? Who benefits from that? Somebody said it. We do. They may have done the most awful thing imaginable to you, but until you forgive them, you remain their victim. I don't want to be anybody's victim. And I know I've done some pretty awful things in my life too. Lead us not into temptation. You notice it says us. Grace teaches us that we are to be concerned for our brothers and sisters as we are for ourselves. So what's our part in that? Maybe we need to avoid certain situations, certain people, certain places. But deliver us from evil, or literally deliver us from the evil one. We're not to pray to be exempted from temptations, but from the judgment of them. John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Can God keep us from the evil one? Can God keep us from doing horrible things, from being horrible people? One of the things I learned early when I was ministering in the jail was it could be me in there. You change a few circumstances in my life, and it could be me in there. How's that saying go? There, but for the grace of God, go you and I. Yes, he can keep us from it. We see the work of each member of the Godhead at work here. Who gives us our daily bread? According to John chapter 6, the Father sends the bread down from heaven. Who mediates and offered himself a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins? Hopefully we all know the answer to that, because that's our salvation. That's the Son. Who leads us and seals us to protect us from the evil one? Some people have a problem with saying that God is one. How can God be one if he's three? Actually, the Hebrew word is echad. It means together. It means in unity. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The kingdom. God has the authority. He has the authority to grant every petition we send before him. For thine is the kingdom, the power. He has the might, he has the strength, he has the ability and the glory. He has the motivation to do it so that he would be glorified. Does God like to show off? God wants us to know everything he's able to do. So he reveals us. He reveals himself to us. That's the glory. We see the clauses of this prayer throughout the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For how long? Forever. Here's a song we used to sing. And I'm told we'll be singing it next week. It talks about when I've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when I first begun. 10,000 years. That's the start of forever. You know, when I worked in the mill, they used to give me vacation time. You work there long enough, you get like 3 weeks. I think that's the most I ever got. But when you get a week's vacation, anybody else in here count the days until you have to go back? That's always in your mind, isn't it? Well, I've got 6 days left. You know, because you have the week, and usually if you work it right, you have a weekend, both weekends too, which, so it's 9 days. You get down to 4 days. I got 4 days left. Then you get down to the weekend, you think, all I got's a lousy weekend. Then you go back to work. But when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, it's still day one. You know, there's another side to that. When the people that aren't going to heaven reach the place they're at, after 10,000 years, it's still day one. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't want that. Nobody wants that. Come see me if that's you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till tomorrow, because remember, today is the day of salvation. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen means pretty much the same thing in Hebrew and Greek. It's the same spelling. It expresses both our desire and our faith. What does amen mean? It means so be it. But it also means it will be so. I think maybe that's why some people, myself included, say amen twice. Make it so, Lord. It will be so. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you did teach us how to pray. We don't have to pray those exact words, Lord, but it's best that we include all those petitions. Lord, I thank you that you're a God that answers prayer. Your word says that while we're still speaking, you hear. Before we speak, you hear. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It also says that he will not deny us any good thing. But help us to remember, Lord, that it's always according to your will. Lord, bless your people this morning. Guide us and direct us. Lord, we need you. There's so many traps we can fall into, Lord. Just keep us close to you. Keep us focused on you. Lord, with your strength, keep us strong in you and in the power of your might. Lord, we thank you. Bless this day. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.